Afternoon, everyone, or afternoon, honorable members. Welcome to the meeting of the Telecom Committee on Petitions. My name is Nkanye Somkize. I'm the committee secretary. My role today is to conduct the proceeding of the election of the acting chairperson. I will then be calling for the nomination for the acting chairperson by the show of hands, members.
I thought maybe you were going to first forward an apology from the chairperson of the committee, so that everyone knows why we are electing an interim chairperson or an acting chairperson.
Okay, thanks for that, honourable chair. Okay, petitioners, members. The chairperson had to excuse herself. She's in Joburg conducting an induction. That's all. Members, I'll then call for the nomination of the acting chairperson.
Yeah, thank you very much. I would move that we appoint the Honorable Mtetwa to chair the meeting for us.
Thank you. I second Honorable Kuyi.
Honorable Petra, do you accept the nomination? I then congratulate Honorable Petra as the acting chairperson of the committee for today. Chair of the session today, the apology has been already raised for the chairperson attended another meeting in Pretoria. I know we must apologize for starting late. There is still party caucus that are still not yet over, even by now. But we had to excuse members to come for this meeting, as well as we are aware that some of you are using flights and there are problems these days when it comes to that. I hope we will catch up time. We are aware of the petitioner. There is a petitioner that has presented his case to the members, to Parliament. And that is the only thing that we'll be dealing with today. And I'm told there is also, there will be two that will be giving presentation. In the interest of time, I would have loved that everybody introduce himself, but I'm looking at the time. Maybe the head of the delegation that you... as you have been invited, may introduce his team quickly in the next 5-10 minutes, so that we give an opportunity the petitioner to present his case. And I want to be upfront to say that the members of Parliament will be listening, and then we will deliberate on this matter after, when we are in our own meeting at a later stage. But for now, we will be listening to all the discussion, all the presentation, and the traditional house has also been represented. But in a little ndabenzi that are around, siyazi ukuthi kwenzakaleni, siyabonga ukuthi nibe khona kulomhlangano. Sibonga kakhulu. So we'll be also taking that as a second presentation. For now, I will start with the members. Koye will be the start one to introduce himself, as I've already introduced myself.
Ndilapha. indlu yamaphondo nimele iphondo lomntla koloni.
Ngiyabonga Sihlalo, sanibonani. Igama lami nguPhindile Mola, ngibuya eMpumalanga Province, ngiyilunga lali komiti.
Good morning, Bomele Bontate. My name is Tebogo Modise. I'm from Northwest Province. I'm the member of this committee.
Bangonani Kamalamu Se Magazanda Mela, Mempo Malanga, member of this committee.
Thank you very much, members, and honorable visit. Kuduzami Zokala Njela. Lo hamba nelo lidi delegation, but I can see the secretary is there. Those was the daily delegation, I should use the eyes. The hamba no ba, finish.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and respectable members of Parliament. I'm not going to mention each of the person by name in the interest of time. I'm just going to mention the chiefs only. If, when I mention your name, please raise your hand. Chief Kajwayo on the extreme right, extreme left, and then I've got Chief Jali. Oh, Chief Jali on my left, on my right, sorry. And then next to him, I've got Chief Kiesa, and then I've got Chief Tezati, just behind myself. Thank you. The other chiefdom that is represented is a Mshosha chiefdom, but they set a delegation that is being led by Ms. Ndlamava. Please raise your hand, yeah? Thank you very much. My name is Ndingudabulamanzi Kangoza. Kamkhuphukile Kamvelase kaThembu. Emperor Thembu II, Votani Majola. I am the emperor of our Thembu nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Any other delegation that needs to be introduced? Babu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ngibu Abraham Sithole. We are the National House of Traditional Leaders. Chairperson of the National House was invited. However, he could not make it due to some other commitments that emanated from his visit to Engadu yesterday. As we all know, we have lost King Sigcawu of Amaxhosa. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Bob Jobe. I then have to believe that the rest are our staff, support staff members. Thank you very much for your attendance as well. You are all welcomed. Maybe without a waste of time, as I've indicated that we've got the time pressure, but we really have time for this presentation, for this meeting. Let me give the petitioner a chance to present his petitioner to the committee members. Let me, you are welcome. You can use your mic where you are.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, if I could just maybe get an indication as to estimate the time limit so that I can be able to adjust myself to this.
Yeah, I see that bundle, but I hope you just to only raise key issues that you want the committee to deal with. Remember, we have this document.
Okay.
And we have sent to us what we want the most is to go to the main key issues.
Okay.
I know that will take you plus minus 30 minutes to you.
Okay.
We will appreciate if you can do that.
Okay. I'll try to wrap it up in 40 minutes, if it's fine.
Let's start and see.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, and the honorable members, first of all, we take this opportunity that you managed to find time out of your busy schedule to come and listen to our petition. We really feel honored. We also feel honored that you took your time and visited us in Mthatha. We really appreciate that. Now, first of all, before I just ququickly explain what Temple and Royal Empire is, I just want to place on record some of the critical documents that we have actually submitted. We have submitted four petitions. One petition talks to the issue of fast-tracking housing delivery. One petition talks to the issue of land. One petition talks to the issue of socio-economic development. And one petition talks to the issue of justice system. Those are the key four petitions that we have submitted. Now, there are documents that are supporting documents to these petitions, which we have also submitted, to make the job easier for you, because these documents are quite bulky. So one document that we have submitted is the one that gives clarity for the petitions, to say, for you to get to understand these petitions is what you must do. But very briefly, each petition has got only about 15 pages of an affidavit. The other bulk is actually supporting evidence. So if you capture the first 15 pages of the affidavit, then you've got everything there, essentially, yes. So this is, we have given a document that gives a clarity as to how these petitions are structured. We have also given the clarity on the land claims process. In other words, what is it that we would like to get from the Honourable Member of Parliament? Because we talk a lot about the land claims process, but there is a key question that we've raised, which is here. We've also submitted a petition, heads of presentation. The heads of presentation is basically exactly what it is, key points that the Honourable Chair spoke about, so that we make your life much easier to understand what is happening here. The last document that we've actually submitted is a document that we also submitted to the CEO of the Land Claims Commissioner, Mrs. Kobota, improving the pace on the land claims processes, because we all know that the land claims processes in the country is in a mess, to put it nicely. So we've come up with some recommendations, but I'll deal with that later. I now proceed to clarify in 1 minute what Temple and Royal Empire is. The Temple and Royal Empire, simply put, is the tribe of Abatimba. Nothing less, nothing more. Temple and Royal Empire is a term that we actually crafted around 2005 when we were doing the revival of our tribe. What we stand for, there are four pillars that we decided on when we were reviving ourselves. The first one was that we are going to revive our kingdoms as our Abatimbo nation, or our chiefdoms and kingdoms. We have got kingdoms in each and every province in the country. In all nine provinces, we've got our kingdoms. Those kingdoms were destroyed by colonialism and apartheid, and we want them back. The second part of our leg is land restitution. We do have land. I'll deal with the issue of land when I'm on the land petition. We want our land back. We would really be grateful if we get our land back, for obvious reasons. It is our heritage. It is one thing that connects us to our spirituality. And without our spirituality, we cannot go forward as a nation. So we want our land back. We are very clear about that. And the issue of land on us is a non-negotiable. But I'll deal with that later. The third thing that we decided on is the issue of socio-economic development. As soon as we get our land back, our people must be developed. We then formed a company called Temple and Royal Treasures Holdings Limited. That company is already involved in developmental projects, starting with skills development and putting up some projects there and there. Some of the projects are actually part of this documentation. The fourth issue or fourth leg of Temple and Royal Empire is the revival of our norms, customs, and traditions. We don't believe that if you practice your customs and norms and traditions, you are a barbarian or whatever. We don't believe that. We believe that our norms and customs and values, they form our identity as we are. Now, we can't leave them behind. If we leave them behind, then we're not going to go forward. So those are the four pillars of Tamil Nadu Empire. Now, to found the local standard to bring this claim or petition is actually appearing on every third paragraph of the petitions. We have got chiefs who have signed the resolution to say we want this to move forward. We have got ordinary members of the Nation of Abatembu all over the country who have signed individual resolutions also. All those documents were actually filed. The other issue that is constantly being raised, or we also found local standing in terms of Section 38 of the Bill of Rights, which basically says that anyone acting in their own interest can bring a matter. Anyone acting on behalf of another person who cannot act in their own name. Anyone acting as a member of or in the interest of a group or class of persons. Anyone acting in public interest and an association acting in the interest of its members. So I'm emphasizing this thing, Chair, of the local standing, because as members of parliament, whatever decision you take, you must take the decision knowing that you're dealing with a local structure, not some vague, shady entity. So that's why I'm actually emphasizing this. Now, if you go to the Framework Act, still on the issue of the local standing, if you go to the definitions on the Framework Act, I will email this to Mr. Mkiza. It defines a tribe. A tribe means a tribe that was established or recognized under legislation in force before the commencement of this act. Now, Abatembu had been in this country for more than 2,500 years. Even the colonial governments, they found us here. So we're part of each and every legislation. It also defined the customary institution or structure, that is the Framework Act, means those institutions or structures established in terms of customary law. Now, Tembuland Royal Empire is founded on the customary law of the Nation of Abatembu. In each of these petitions, there is a genealogy of Abatembu. Okay. On this one, socioeconomic is on page 30. This is a genealogy of Abatembu. It's page 30. And also on page 31, this is the genealogy. Now, this is the basis of why you are sitting here today. It appears in all the petitions, so you won't struggle to find the genealogy. Now, on the basis of that, I believe that I've clarified the issue of the local standing for Tembuland Royal Empire, that it is a lawful institution that is pursuing lawful ends to achieve lawful goals. I now deal with the petitions. The first petition deals with the issue of land restitution. It's actually only four pages, the smallest of them all. Now, this one, what we are saying as a nation of Tembu is that it's not a petition in the traditional sense, more than us placing issues on record. And what are those issues that we are placing on record? We are placing on record that as far as we know as a nation of Tembu, and as far as our history tells us, all the provinces, nine of them in South Africa, belong to the nation of Abatembu, from historical perspective, cultural perspective, heritage perspective, and so on. Now, what we are saying now is that we understand that the government has started a process of land restitution. We don't believe that that process is going to yield any positive fruits. Why? One reason why you don't believe that is because when that process was undertaken last year, you had a situation where you invite anyone who wanted to be there. In a hall, you could have people from Ghana, from Nigeria, from Malawi, sitting in that hall, deciding the future of our land. Those people don't even have a right to vote. So where do they get now the local standing to stand up and say, with regard to that land, I'm making this submission? So now that process, as far as we are concerned, we submit that it is fatally flawed from the beginning. But we then say in this petition, we are not going to go to court and do this and do that. We don't believe that courts are able to solve social issues at all. We believe dialogue is a way to go. But what we are saying in this petition, we are placing it on record that when the time comes, we know that the time is going to come, where the issue of land will be dealt with in a comprehensive manner, then we as a nation of Thembu will be there to present the facts, to prove that each and every square meter in this country belongs to the nation of Abatembu. That's basically what we are saying, so we are just placing issues on record. The second issue is the issue of housing. With housing, we believe that there are certain errors. The reason why housing is in a mess that it is in, it has got a lot to do with certain errors in terms of constructing the laws and the policies. But very briefly, what happened with these policies is that somebody sits in an office and they assume that I must create a policy like this, which is the other way around. The lawmaking process starts with the people who will be affected by that legislation to find out what is it, where do they stand, how are the issues going to be sorted out. Now, we say in this petition, if that had happened with the housing laws, we wouldn't be having the problem we have. For example, make an example here. There's an example about the issue of subsidy schemes, individual subsidy schemes. Subsidy schemes, you must go and look for a house that complies with whatever is prescribed, and then you must submit that to housing department for approval. The return cycle for that is about 2 years, not less. But now there's a problem with that. The problem is that people who are in the housing sector, they don't want to sell houses to people who are relying on subsidies. Because if I sell my house to him, during that period, I cannot sell it to somebody else until that contract has been finalized or cancelled. So what does it mean now? It means people who would be staying in houses, if the policy had been drafted properly, which I'll tell our submissions what it is that a lot of people will be sitting in their houses. What is a better way to do it? The better way to do it is that if you know that you qualify for a housing, for example, the housing department must approve your application even before you get that particular house, but it must be subject to you complying with whatever they have prescribed, so that you can then go out to whoever is selling a house to say, I've got a pre-approval, which is basically the same as what the banks do, but it must be subject to the conditions. Then now people who are selling houses are not going to have a problem in selling their houses to people who have got that pre-approval, because they know that within 30 minutes, his application has already been approved. So within 30 days, that 30-day period, I will be getting my money as a seller. Then I was going to entice them to keep selling their houses, and then people start getting houses. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm saying if now, before that policy was dealt with, if people had gone to understand the iniquities of selling houses, the problem that we're having wouldn't be having it. Now, then the question comes to say, what happens if we've got a flooding of all these people carrying these blank checks, so to say? But now, that is not likely to happen precisely because as soon as there is a boom in the housing sector, you are going to, first of all, start to see economy growing up because there's money that is circulating. Once there's more money circulating, the economy is going to grow. But once there's more money circulating in housing, more money is going to come, naturally. So the housing department is not going to run out of funds of providing housing. But the other thing that we're also saying in the petition is that what needs to happen is the housing department must also design a business product whereby they get in corporates. Money in the world is there. Even today you can get a billion rand as long as it's something that's going to be interesting to the investor. But now if you don't craft a business product that is interesting to the investor, you're not going to get the money. It's actually easier to get a billion than to get a million in the corporate sector, as long as you've got a product that is perfect. So that is basically what we are saying. So we were given a lot of other recommendations that would like the house to look at, and then we see how we take forward. So that concludes the issue of the housing. The other petition deals with socio-economic development ventures, which is this document here. Very briefly, we believe as a nation of Temu that our socio-economic development ventures in various parts of the country are being sabotaged. You start a project, it moves for 2 months, all of a sudden it has disappeared. And the members of the government are actually responsible for that. We've got specific examples that we've actually cited, which actually makes up this thick documentation. Now, coming to the issue of socio-economic development, we have highlighted specific examples, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now, in the interest of time, I'm not going to deal with each of those because I will never finish. But there's one issue that I would like to highlight, especially that affects the chiefs who are actually sitting here, in as far as socio-economic development is concerned. We have made applications for the Honorable Premier of the Eastern Cape to approve traditional councils and also to approve the chiefdoms that are sitting here. So that once that happens, each traditional council, in terms of the Framework Act, is entitled to be given a budget so that they can pursue rural development. Now, Chief Jesse cannot get any budget from government if he does not have the certificate cut. And if he does not get a budget to develop 20,000 of his people under his jurisdiction, it means those people are condemned to poverty for the rest of their life. Because there is no visible structure that is developing rural areas, at least not that we see. Now, the challenge now is that for some unexplained reasons, the Honorable Premier of Eastern Cape in particular is not processing those applications at all. Not processing them. It's been more than a year and a half now those documents having been submitted before him. Those documents for each of these chiefdoms are actually part of this batch. But what does that mean? It means now the people who live under these chiefs and many others that are not here today, there's quite a lot of them, are condemned to poverty for the rest of their life. But what does it mean for the country? It means all these people in the rural areas are going to flock to the cities, Johannesburg, Cape Town, whatever, look for opportunities. And those cities are not going to perform. They're going to collapse. Johannesburg is not performing economically. In other words, his inaction is effectively not only prejudicing them, it is destroying the economy of the country. Because if in Johannesburg we've got a complement of, we are supposed to have 300,000 people, but we are sitting with 1 million people, you are over-complemented by 700,000, now that economy is not going to perform. To cut a long story short. So now the question is, what do we expect the parliament to do? We've said as part of our relief is that we believe that the Honorable Parliament has got the power to order the Premier of the Eastern Cape in particular to do his job. Because in terms of the Framework Act, he's the one who must actually process the applications and for traditional councils and for the chiefdoms. passes those that he passes, declares those that he declares. But he cannot ignore the documents that are before him. He can't. He has got a constitutional duty to act on those things. We also say in our papers that if he for whatever reason, is not doing that, then we believe that the Honourable Parliament has got the power to set up a certain structure, whatever that would be, to actually do those processes, so that our people are not condemned into poverty for the rest of our lives just because somebody, for whatever reason, does not want to do his job. So
we can take another point. We have noted your matter of budget.
Sure.
So let's not overemphasize that.
Thank you. So essentially, that's where it stands now on the issue of these chiefdoms. Process this, pass those that you pass, don't pass those that you don't pass, and then you take it forward. So in as far as socio-economic development, I'm not going to deal with specific issues because, like you correctly said, there's a problem of time. I'm just going to jump now to deal with the justice system, a petition, which is the last petition.
Okay.
The justice system petition, or before I go to the justice system, on the issue of socio-economic development, we talk a lot about the land claims processes that are not moving, especially within the nation of Thembu, which we believe is part of the ostracization that we're complaining about. Now, with land claims, we have submitted a document which says improving the pace on the land claims processes. I'm not going to read it. It's a three-page document. It's very clear what it says. But very briefly, what it says that we, as a country, the land claims process, people who are able to do their own research for land claims or get someone else, after they've submitted the land claim, they must be allowed to do that. Because where the delay is, some people wait for 8 years before the land commission appoints the researcher, for 8 years without doing the research. So that can be sorted out when people are doing that for themselves. Secondly, but what they can do as a commission, they obviously have to validate the report that is given by a private person to avoid fraud and corruption. That's basically what they're saying there. The other thing is to avoid the disputes that are also causing the delays on land claims. We said that they can engage the senior law students who can go and teach people about their rights, because the disputes arise because somebody thinks that he is entitled to this, but in fact he is not entitled to it. The third point that we're raising is the issue of payment. We believe that people should not be given cash for land settlement. It's better if those who have got claims that have been successful, you do a company for them, which is going to be a profit-making company. You make them shareholders or give them bonds. Because now you give a fellow 60,000 rand, within a month or two, that money is finished. He's more poorer than before. Whereas if you had split that money into some of the money, you do a startup capital for that company, for all of them, he has got something that's going to last forever, even his children. So basically, that's what we're saying in this document, but it's a very short document, about 4 pages. Okay, I now deal with the justice system petition, which is the last petition. Again, with the justice system petition, we believe that the system is being manipulated. It's manipulated with the purpose to prejudice the nation of Abatembo. Where does it come from? It appears that it comes from, there was a popular concept around 1996, which was called the Xhosa North within the ANC, where it was said that Amaxhosa are dominating the ANC, and that certain people then crafted this concept to say, you've got to deal with the Xhosa in the ANC. We believe that's where it comes from. So our leaders are being targeted. We have cited specific examples here, which I'm not going to go through them, but to just mention them by word of mouth, and we have actually given evidence of how these leaders have actually been targeted, and we believe that it is happening with the purpose to ostracize the nation of Tembu. I'll just mention them, the specific people who have been targeted. Winnie Mandela, she's one of them, the late Mamu Winnie Mandela. Her company was sabotaged within the government circles, which I formed for her. It was a mining company. The former king, Bileka Dalindyebo, it appears as a criminal case. It has never been a criminal case. It has always been a political prosecution. I have explained why, and I've given my first-hand information, because I'm the one who took him out of prison in 2004, when the charges were revived after 11 years. At a certain point, the former premier, Makenge Sistofile, left Bishop with a contingent of bodyguards to go and dethrone Dalindyebo in his own home, forcing him to resign for whatever reason that they are fighting. I don't know why they are fighting. The former state president, Thabo Mbeki, dismissal from cabinet, was part of the vendetta to ostracize the nation of Tembu. The reasons are there. General Bantu Lumisa is also dismissal from the ANC, was part of that campaign. Mr. Sakumzi Matozoma, the unlawful surveillance perpetrated by Mr. Masetla, was part of throwing mud into him so that he does not perform economically, and so on. And so on and so on. Now, all these things were kind of connected the dots, to use the language of the state capture. And we came to a conclusion that it has never been a Cosa Nostra in reality. It was just a euphemistic term. It has been a campaign to target the nation of Tembu, as far as we are concerned. What relief do we seek? Why are the nation of Tembu being targeted? It's because we must get out of the political and economic sphere in the country. That's a simple reason. And we're not going to accept it. The failure and the refusal by the Premier to action these applications without an explanation, not even an unreasonable explanation, no explanation at all, is part of that vendetta. And we'll be grateful if that can be sorted out. What relief do we seek in all these two major petitions, the justice one and the social economic development one? Number one is that we submit that the Honorable Parliament must apply the rule of law. In other words, if someone is supposed to do something, if a state official is supposed to do to discharge his obligations and he has failed to do that, he must be ordered to do it. Premier must, who's this fellow? Who's there now? It's no longer Maswale, Mabuyane. Premier Mabuyane must be ordered by the parliament to action the applications for chiefdoms and traditional councils so that these processes must move. That's what I mean by the rule of law. And obviously applying the same to all the issues that we have raised. That is a short term. We believe that can happen quick. But on a long term, as a relief that we seek from Parliament is that we as a nation of Tembu are deeply aggrieved by what has been happening, because this has been happening since 1996, as you are going to see the documents when you read them deep. So we are deeply aggrieved by the processes that are clearly intended to take us out of the political sphere and the economic sphere in the country. But deeply aggrieved. Therefore, the Honorable Parliament must start a process to do a proper investigation into all these, the ostracization. I think you have used a very good term. Investigate the ostracization of the nation or against the nation of Tembu, so that then there could be corrective measures that are taken once we find that indeed there was something wrong that has been done. So essentially, that's basically our point. That, Honorable Chair, would conclude my submissions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We noted your point, and must also say that in Parliament one of the good things that it's recorded. We will go through it. We'll have a report and then respond back. But back to you. With all the issues that have been raised, I will respond accordingly. The chairperson will, when she comes back, and the committee will deal with that matter. Then we've got another presentation from the House of Traditional Leaders. They will also give us a presentation in the next 15-20 minutes. Yeah. Baba, what's tough? Job of matter.
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you. The National House was invited to have a view or a voice in the petition. Chair, we're not going to deal into the merits of the petition because we do not have access to all the documents that have been mentioned as per the presenter of the petition. However, we felt as a National House we just needed to clarify a few things that we could pick up from the petition. Chair, firstly, I deal with the introduction of the National House of Traditional Leaders, which is a statutory body established by Act of Parliament, and it gives provisions as to how the National House is formed. Then I furthermore deal, Chairperson, which is very critical, with the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act 2003, which determines how traditional leaders and how traditional leadership is established, formed. The Act does give provisions for that. And Chair, I'm dealing as well with the categories or the levels of traditional leaders in the country, which is very critical for us to understand what Section 8 of the Framework Act utini when it comes to the issues of level of traditional leadership. Which, Chair, if I may just mention quickly, because this, Chair, I'm not reading, I'm just talking to it. Chair, the Framework Act provides for the recognition of traditional communities. It sets the process as to how you can be recognized. You can't just act as a traditional leader without a community or without your community having been recognized. It is correct that, for instance, in this case, we're dealing with Abatebo. Abatebo is an old community. It was there for a very long time. We all know that. But, Chair, some of the things that are critical is that once there's a community established, then you need to have the structure that will start to administer or manage that community, which is called, in the case of a kingship, it is called a kingship council. In the case of a principal traditional leader, it's called a principal traditional leadership council. In the case of a senior traditional leader, it's called a senior traditional leadership council. Those are the governance structures of a traditional leadership. In terms of the Framework Act, Chair, we do not have the terminologies that were used today here, the terminology like what Majula 7 said, your chiefdom. We don't have that in the Act, and therefore we will not refer to them as such. I believe Wuti, or my interpretation of the chiefdom, he meant the senior traditional leadership, Ubukhosi in general. That is how I understood him to be saying. But Chair, the positions that we have in the Republic, in terms of the Framework Act, when you read your Section 8, it specifically says there's a king, which is the highest ranking traditional leader in the country. There is no other person or traditional leadership position that is higher than that of a king. Just below the king, you find the position of a principal traditional leader. One will ask, where does this position come from? It was in the amendment of 2009. Then you have the senior traditional leader, which is normally with the language of the previous administration. It was called a chief. Now that's a senior traditional leadership. That's a third position from king, principal, senior traditional leader. Then you have a headman or headwoman. Those are the only positions that we have, Chairperson. We don't have any other position in the Act. Now, Chair, dealing with the issues of land, Just in a very short presentation on land, Chair, traditionally that's held in Indaba in 2017, and in that Indaba which was held in Beachwood, they resolved that government must transfer land to traditional leadership structures, which are the councils that I've spoken about earlier on. The traditional leadership council, the kingship council, and all of that. The land that is currently occupied by traditional leadership, it must be transferred and registered in the name of those traditional councils. And furthermore, in the very same Indaba of 2017, traditional leaders resolved that government must do the transfer within 6 months. If it doesn't have a tool to transfer that land to traditional councils, it is required within 24 months to develop that tool, which is in a form of a legislation that will give a guide to how you transfer land and register it in the name of a traditional council that has that is occupying that land, or that a land has been restored to that community. And then in 2018, traditional leaders again met now in Durban to say, how far have we gone with the resolutions that were taken in 2017? And emanating from there, then traditional leaders requested government to speed up the process as agreed in the 2017 Indaba. Then what government did was to establish the panel that is headed by Dr. Mahlathi, which looks at the agriculture and land. And that panel has released its report. It is, however, still consulting as we are speaking now with traditional leaders in order to get their actual views. What is it that they think how land should be transferred to them, and what will they use the land for once it is transferred to them? And that report of the panel was tabled to the IMC, that is Interministerial Committee, which is headed by the Deputy President. And the IMC said to Dr. Mahlathi that you still need to further consult with traditional leaders on the matter of land. Because in the 2017 Indaba, traditional leaders said we need a land summit that will finalize the issues of land that is within a traditional leadership. And Shepherdson, even this year in September, traditional leaders further confirmed that the land has not been transferred, and there has not been a law to that effect that says how land is going to be transferred. So Chairperson, that is what the National House believes in. At the moment, we are in that process wherein we are saying to government, we need that land summit so that we finalize the issue of land that we have spoken about in 2017. And Chair, just to mention one thing about Abatembu. I said earlier on, Abatembu is a very big nation, and great nation for that matter. Chair, we have Abatembu that are under His Majesty King Azenati Dalindyebo at the moment. And we've got Abatembu who are under King Matanzima at the moment. In terms of the findings and the decisions of the Commission on Traditional Leadership Disputes and Claims, the Commission said the only king, Abatembu, and the highest ranking traditional leader within Abatembu, who is in charge of all Abatembu in the Republic, is Abatembu Baga Dalindyebo, of which at the moment is the acting king Azenati. There is no other one, to the best of our knowledge and in terms of our records that we have as government. The acting king Azenati is the highest ranking traditional leader who's heading Abatembu Bonke, from Abatembu Baga Dalindyebo and Abatembu Basekhote. King Azenati is the one who's heading them. So Chairperson, that is the only submission that the National House is having, just to give clarity to the committee. But when it deals with all these things, we need to understand what is the position of traditional leaders, whom they took in 2017, and how far are they now with the decisions that was taken in 2017. And to further clarify to the committee the different positions of traditional leaders in this regard, and maybe to further clarify Abatembu fall under the kingship which is held by the current acting king, who is the child of the king Vuyelekhaya Dalindyebo, who is currently in the correctional services centers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Joga. I will give now the members to seek clarity in the two presentations that have been done. Any other issue?
Honorable Chair, I don't know if I can just get 30 seconds to clarify one thing. Respect.
Okay.
My brother, the last speaker, has raised some issues. I'm not going to respond to them at all. But what I want to place it on record is that most of the issues that he has raised are not accurate. What we are going to do...
No, I'm not going to allow that. We have allowed your presentation for the committee to consider.
Okay.
The traditional leaders, actually we must supply them with some of the documents so that also they can go through some of the things that we have said.
Okay.
But all of you, you've got the right to present those issues to the chairperson.
Okay.
Should you feel that there were other issues that was raised,
okay.
But I would not allow to open a dialogue in okay. a meeting.
No, okay. I wanted to just say we'll respond once we get a directive from you on the issues you raised. Not engage.
No, you will correspond.
Thank
you. Correspond.
Thank you.
Because here we don't know which is right, which is wrong, okay. But what we are going to do, we are going to go through this report,
yes.
And then research, bring research information and correct response back accordingly as Parliament. Members, any other issue that you would like to raise? Yes.
No, Chair, this is a very complicated matter. It needs two or more days just to sit and engage. I don't think we will be doing any justice if we asking clarity-seeking questions now. Safe to say that what maybe must be done in writing, because we need clarity on the issue. For example, the issue that is raised of the kingdom Katalimvula in relation to the kingdom Katalimvula. We need to get clarity because the issues that are being raised here are a bit confusing, and if we can try to engage them, they will take long. So I would want the National House of Traditional Leaders, as well as the Royal House of the Abateo, to give us in writing the specific issue that they are talking to in relation to the legitimacy of the Matanzima Kingdom and whether that was communicated to the Temu Nation. So I think we need to get that communicated to us in writing. And further to say, we will keep constant engagement with them. But also to register our concern that when we visited Ibumbane with the aim of resolving the same issue, we didn't find joy in terms of the people who attended the meeting. That's why we are sitting here today. But be that as it may, we just need further information so that we can be able to process these things. And it needs us to take some time to go through these documents and familiarize ourselves. But we will then keep constant contact if there are issues of clarity that we need. I think that's what I wanted just to raise, Chair, to say, let's note the presentations for now. and then with the understanding that we will sit as a committee, go through these things, and then we will communicate if there are areas of clarity that we need. Because also, I also wanted, for instance, to ask, when the presenter from the Abatembu was raising the issue of Abatembu have got kingdoms in all 9 provinces. I think that was, maybe it might have been a slip of a tongue. So those are things that need to be clarified. We know Abatembu are all over the country, but the royal house, the royal houses that I was of the impression that are in existence are the 2 royal houses of the East and the Western Tembuland. But now we are told that no, it's the Eastern Tembuland royal house. Everyone is there. So I think we need that clarity as well, Chair, as and when we deal with this thing moving forward. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, members, for giving those 6 clarities. I don't think it's a slip of a tongue. Am I correct?
No, it's definitely not a slip of a tongue. No.
Okay.
But we'll clarify, as I said, will you get correspondence on the
side? Okay. No, we will do that. No, thank you very much for attending this important meeting. As a committee, we are going to go through all this documentation. It has been long given to us, it's not for the first time. We will now that we've also got the position from the traditional house, we will give them the other documentation that they might not have had and give them also a space to respond to certain issues since they said they have not got all the documentation. But after that, the committee will deliberate on these matters and then respond back to the petitioner and those stakeholders that they've registered to want to put their views on the matter. The Mthatha area, the issue, we have touched to its member Koia, Honorable Koia. It had some confusion because there were other members that raised their hand there and tell us that, no, we don't know these people. They are from one area of the province, and they are not from Mthatha, and the king is also not aware. But those matters were clarified in terms of the documentation. They had to submit other documentation to clarify that. I think for today, I want to thank everybody who has come to this meeting and presented that document. Now we've got better understanding more than yesterday. So the committee will deal with its work at a later stage. Then this house will stand adjourned for today. Thank you very much.